Well, first, calls for a change of attitude by lead authorities after a person who had the COVID-19 visited a busy pub on Friday night in the northern suburb of Greenhithe. Hundreds of Aucklanders are being urged to get tested. A pop-up community centre testing centre is being set up in Greenhithe. That person was one of two community cases linked to a port worker, and the case in play at the moment was at the Malt Pub between 7:30 and 10 on Friday, then tested positive yesterday. We have been asking Auckland Regional Public Health officials to speak with us this morning for more information. They have declined. We've also been turned down by the Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield, and the Director of Public Health, Caroline McElnay. With us is Sir David Skeek, an epidemiologist at the University of Otago Medical School, former chairman of the Public Health Commission, Health Research Council and New Zealand Science Board, and who also provided advice to the COVID Response Committee in the previous Parliament. He is concerned at the levels of general complacency reflected at both public and government agency level. Sir David, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
How big is the risk surrounding what's happening in Auckland at the moment?
It's really impossible to tell at this stage, Catherine. I've been following the information that's been released very carefully, and I must say it's somewhat garbled, just the days on which people were exposed and were infected and tested positive. So, I think the possibilities range from the fact that there could be a significant cluster developing in Auckland, or we could be lucky and there could be no more cases. I mean, it's a very wide range of possibilities.
What of what has happened since? And specifically, we're hearing, we heard from the pub owner this morning, he went to get tested very quickly, was told there'd be a three-hour wait, come back tomorrow, better to come back tomorrow. We've heard from others, reported in the New Zealand Herald, that they went to get tested, long wait, got mixed advice over, questioned the advice over whether they needed to self-isolate, whether household members needed to self-isolate, got different information from the nurse and from Healthline. So,
yes, I saw that.
This is not the first go round. Is this to be expected, or is this not okay?
Well, it's clearly not okay that people are given bad advice, and it's also not okay if people have difficulty getting tested. And obviously, that's been discussed in the wider context for the last few days. That we have to make it easy for people to get tested, because we want everyone with symptoms, not just those who are at that pub, to get tested. And unfortunately, I think there is a general level of complacency among the public, but also perhaps among the authorities. I mean, we've also got the concern in Christchurch. There's a real possibility there could be an outbreak there, because we've got a large number of people in a hotel quarantined, double-bedded, which completely contravenes the principles of quarantine. We've got close to 200 staff probably coming in and out of the Sedima Hotel. Yes, they're wearing PPE when they need to, but people don't realise PPE does not guarantee you won't get infected. It just reduces the risk of getting infected. So I think we all have to bear in mind the possibility, or in fact the certainty, that this virus is going to get into our community from time to time. There'll be increasing pressure to relax our borders, as clearly has happened with these deep-sea fishermen. And, I think the rest of us need to behave with that knowledge. But, I've been really concerned now for 2 or 3 weeks. I still always use my app to record a QR code. I hardly ever see anyone else do it. I haven't flown recently. I've got several flights in the next few weeks. People tell me most people aren't wearing masks on the plane. And again, the government gave the wrong message there, I think. Because I think people have just been led to believe that we've defeated this virus, and we haven't. It's going to keep happening. And if we want to avoid lockdowns, we're going to have to change our behaviour.
Okay. Just to that last point first, we had a morning report, had in some feedback from a Ministry of Health source this morning, that the number of scans had gone from a peak of 2.5 million on the 5th of September to 368,000 scans on the 20th of August, daily scans.
Yeah.
That's how much we've dropped off to that point. To your
exactly.
point, I flew last week. with my colleague, one of maybe half to a dozen people on a packed flight wearing masks, and had someone say, "Oh, you know, you don't have to do that now." So,
yeah,
so both of those things have happened. So both of those things have happened, and that's the complacency in the community. But I want to come back to the messaging.
Well, and from our politicians, because why did they say, "Oh, wear one if you want to"? Because actually, you do it to protect other people, not yourself. And it's so much easier to do it if it's a requirement. And particularly with aeroplanes, and around the world, people now wear masks if they fly. We should be doing the same thing.
To come back, though, to the confused messaging that people were saying when they went to get tested, does this come down to whether someone's considered a casual contact or a close contact, and then we get into whether or not you get tested if you've got symptoms? Why, in a situation like this, where one ship worker, one person went to work on a ship, came back, we had two more community cases, why is it not a super conservative approach saying, if you're at the pub, stay home, get tested, your family household gets tested, which seems to now be the message belatedly, but wasn't in the first instance? I'm still not clear what the official advice is.
Well, again, I say you need to talk to someone from the Auckland Regional Public Health Service because they've got all the information that I haven't got about what actually happened and what the likelihood is that that man was infected when he went to the pub on Friday. I mean, I think I heard the minister say on Morning Report that he was exposed on Friday. Well, I think it's very unlikely that he would have been infectious if that was the very day he'd been exposed. But again, we can't be certain that he was exposed when he had that brief encounter with the other man.
There's a possibility
there's someone else there who's infected them both. I mean, at this stage, we don't know enough about how many other people, how many colleagues they might have who are infected.
Or indeed, which of the three people infected whom,
affect
whether you were close or casual. Now, obviously, authorities have to take time to sort these things out. But in the meantime, does it not make sense to take a very conservative approach, especially when people are going to testing stations and actually correcting what they're being told or following up with Healthline because they believe they should be taking greater caution?
Yes, well, I think that the particular nurse clearly was mistaken in the advice she gave, and we all make mistakes. So I would see that as an error on the part of one healthcare worker, which, I mean, is always going to happen sometimes. But there does need to be a very clear message, I think, you know, through the media as to what people need to do. I thought it was pretty clear, but it's sad to hear that people are getting mixed messages.
Well, Healthline also advised this person that he would be treated as a potential close contact, not a casual contact as reported in the media. Healthline then said anyone that lives with us must also have a test and self-isolate. I queried this as it was not what was being reported in the media. She advised us that they were notified a couple of hours ago about this change.
Yeah, well, as I say, I really can't comment on the advice that's been given, but I totally agree with you. It needs to be the right advice and it needs to be given consistently.
Let's talk more broadly about your concerns then about complacency. And it seems, again, we've seen a drop-off in the use of COVID, as we said, a drop-off in the use of masks. Testing, I've gone back to look at testing averages because, again, the ongoing testing is part of a sort of a surveillance approach all the time, is it not, Sir David? You want to be having a decent number of tests all the time.
Yes, and particularly people with symptoms. I mean, I think anyone who gets, you know, cold-type symptoms, needs to go and get a test. I mean, none of us want to do that. So I haven't actually had a cold yet, but when I get one, I'm going to go and get a test. But I won't be pleased about that. But it's just so important to protect, you know, the people we live with and our colleagues, because we must expect this virus to be coming into New Zealand from time to time. And say, as the borders are gradually relaxed, as clearly has happened in Christchurch, the likelihood increases greatly.
So we are seeing the last 7-day rolling average at 4,179, but that was after a big jump yesterday. I think that would have been included, or the 20th of October there was a big jump. I think the testing before that had been in the region of 3,000 to 4,000 rolling weekly average. I did see it drop to the twos. Is that good enough as a surveillance number?
Well, it's hard to know without knowing how many people out there have symptoms. It's not, you know, hopeless, but certainly my anecdotal observations talking to people who've had symptoms that could have reflected COVID-19 suggest to me that we're not testing as consistently as we should. But testing is just one of the things. You know, I think we need to keep practicing sensible physical distancing. I'm trying to avoid shaking hands with people. It's actually quite awkward, but actually shaking hands is a great way of passing viruses around. And, you know, we just need, I think, just to be vigilant because we're so lucky in New Zealand. We've done so well. We're enjoying, you know, freedoms and security that just are a distant memory in most countries. But we shouldn't assume that this is going to go on forever if we don't take precautions.
What of the testing centres being closed at the weekends in Auckland, which is another matter? I mean, again, isn't it the case that you go, on the moment you go, and if the testing centre's not there or it's closed, you may or may not come back Monday? And is there a risk that in what would be normal times, rational logistical decisions are being made that perhaps aren't rational in a pandemic?
Absolutely, because, I mean, if I got symptoms, you know, runny nose, sore throat, on a Saturday, I go to an urgent after-hours clinic, which is the alternative that's being recommended, and you find a very full waiting room of people with fractures and, you know, all sorts of things, and you've got the prospect of sitting there for 2 or 3 hours, the temptation to think, look, I won't bother, it's probably just a cold, is very great. So, you know, we have to make it easy for people to do the right thing, not difficult. And frankly, the cost involved in this is trivial compared with the lockdowns that might have to happen in Auckland or Christchurch or wherever.
It's Queen's birthday weekend. People are going to be getting on flights and travelling. At the very least, should everyone be wearing masks in public places?
I think Labour weekend, actually.
What did I call it? Queen's birthday.
Queen's birthday.
No, let's move on. We're trying to get to the end of this year. Sorry.
Yeah.
So no, Labour weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the authorities should require masks on public transport. I think that would be a good disease prevention approach. And I think it would also remind us all that we're not living in a COVID-free world. And if the government haven't got the guts to do that, I think the airline should do it to protect their own staff as well. I mean, I just don't think it's a big hassle to put a mask on for a flight for 1 or 2 hours. But unfortunately, if you leave it to individuals, they're going to feel embarrassed about putting it on, or they're going to be complacent and just not do it. So, yeah, I would, especially now we've got these concerns in both Christchurch and Auckland, I certainly agree with what you say.
What is the Christchurch risk? I think you've suggested it already, is the sheer number of cases there. Now, first, should they be able to be isolated from each other? Should we be able to avoid cross-infection? The double bunking, I think, surprised many people. However, should it be where you have cases in a quarantine hotel, you should be able to avoid cross-infection? That should be happening.
Well, the first thing is you want to have as few cases that are infected coming in as possible, because no system is perfect. You know, we can never say that the system is risk-free to the people and also to the staff who work with them. But having people two to a room is sloppy procedure. It doesn't make sense, because it's quite easy to work out that one person could infect the other who would not give a positive test before they come out into the community. So, you know, it just defies the principles of quarantine. And in New Zealand, we have allowed family groups to be in a room together. That's a kind of compassionate thing. In China, as I understand it, where they're very careful about people coming into the country, they actually separate husbands and wives immediately, and they don't see each other for 14 days. Now, I'm not saying we should do that, but to have a whole lot of people who've come from a country with one of the highest incidences in the world two to a room. I can only assume it was done as an economy measure to save the company, who presumably are paying for this quarantine, some money. Because it's just, you know, people don't realise that a negative COVID test does not prove someone is not infectious. For example, on the fourth day of an infection, 67% of people who are infected will give a false negative. So you can very easily work out that someone could not test positive on day three, but could still infect their roommate, who would not test positive before they left after 14 days. So, you know, I sort of feel that it's worrying that this kind of thing is happening. It almost seems as if the authorities don't understand the epidemiology of the disease.
The risk now is, or the question now is, and I think the Director General of Health addressed this to some extent yesterday, is are you going to have to extend the stay of these people for just the reason you're saying, that you're trying to rely on your 14 days, you've got a significant number of them anyway, you're trying to rely on your 14 days and be confident of the day in which someone became infected, and therefore the day you can best assume they are no longer infectious.
Correct. You know, the fact is, it's far better to have rigorous quarantine procedures than just to rely on tests. We need to have the tests as well, because there will be, you know, cross-infection that we don't know about occurring, unfortunately, as we've seen already with the number of incidents. But the fundamental protection, as Dr. Bloomfield said publicly on many occasions, is to have that 14 days of quarantine. But the minute you put people two to a room, you're starting to erode that. So, yeah, I would be just as concerned about Christchurch as about Auckland at the moment.
So, David, it's, I mean, you've been sounding warnings from the beginning about not only about complacency, but about rigour, really. And I wonder sometimes whether the rigour is traded off against what it's expected the public's prepared to do.
Well, that's true, and that's true in every country. People talk about social licence. You have to, you know, trim the perfect to what people will put up with. But I actually think most New Zealanders would accept the sort of things that I'm talking about. I think we need a better message from the top, because, you know, most New Zealanders are aware of what's going on around the world. They've seen what's happened in Melbourne, where, you know, they've had week after week after week of lockdowns. We don't want that. And the sort of precautions that, you know, I'm talking about are not a big hassle. And certainly I don't think anyone in New Zealand would imagine that they'd be bringing in hundreds of Russian seamen and putting them two to a room, when we know what the incidence of COVID-19 in Russia is. And also we know that testing that is supposed to have been done before they came has not been followed up on. And, you know, we know enough about the testing of Russian athletes to be just a little bit cautious about that.
So, David, we've just had an advisory come in from the Northern Regional Northland District.
Oh, yes.
Goodness, we would love to speak to them. It would make life so much easier. They have announced that there are two additional community testing centres opening on the North Shore, on North Wynonie Park and Greenhithe, Church House Road, from 8:30am to 4:30pm. And Thursday today, also North Care Accident and Medical, 5 Home Place off Constellation Drive in Rosedale, from 8am to 5pm. COVID-19 testing is also available across the city at the 6 permanent CTCs and at urgent care clinics and general practices. These new ones are part of the resurgent plans of the Metro Auckland DHBs. Most people at the pub are considered casual contacts, but are being asked to get tested as soon as possible. They should stay home in self-isolation until they receive a negative test result. Staff will also be asked to get tested. For more information, visit a website that we will put up as a link. Thank you very much for that statement. You are welcome to come and speak to us anytime. Thank you again for being with us this morning, Professor Sir David Skegg.